This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Well, hello, beautiful.
Holy caffeine!
It's the world's greatest super friends.
Ronnie and Aaron.
Faster than a streak of lightning.
A DC Comics podcast.
Absolute.
Tell me something, my friend. You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
Yeah, sure, why not?
I'm Batman.
I'm Batman.
Batman.
He's a hipster.
The Flash world's fastest human.
I mean, I grew up with Wally West.
Think about the future.
If you're good at something, never do it for free.
Dude, you're a dumbass.
You are foolish.
Ooh. DC Absolute.
Hell yeah.
So, Ronnie.
Yo.
I have a crisis. On Earth X.
Oh, you do?
Not really. I have a question though.
Are you gonna do this whole podcast in either a superhero landing, or with your arms stretched out to your side and your chest puffed out?
No.
Okay.
I am going to ask a question though. DC has 52. Earths, right?
Wrong, sir.
Well, Earth X.
Yes.
Wasn't Earth X a Marvel thing?
I think so.
Because this entire crossover has confused the shit out of me. For that reason.
You should have watched it like I watched it.
On Fast Forward?
No. We'll call it the Machete Order. Because I totally skipped Supergirl.
Okay, well, if you skip Supergirl, let me give you a quick rundown of what happened in the Supergirl episode.
Mm-hmm.
The first 42 minutes was relationship drama between everybody. Mm-hmm. They were getting ready for a wedding. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh, I kind of see. That's the whole thing. Is like you chop out that first episode of it,
but.
And it gets explained to you in layman's terms throughout the other three, so, you know, you're not lost at all. You just don't have to step through it.
What you missed, though, was the last, like, 10 minutes when they were about to say their vows, and the Earth-X Nazis came in, and just, like, all hell broke loose. That was actually kind of cool.
Okay.
It was, my opinion, that was the best of the fight sequences on the show. In the crossover.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because the one fight sequence, I think it was Flash, where they're in the bunker or wherever they're at.
Were they on Earth X, or were they on Earth 1?
No, they were on Earth X.
Okay.
I think... It's like it looks like they're in like the underground garage type thing.
Oh, I think that was in the Arrow episode.
Okay, maybe.
Was that?
I knew it wasn't in the finale one. It's the one where
Evil Oliver went towards Star Labs.
Okay, I don't know about that, but it's the fight sequence where good Oliver gets knocked down and spits out blood and then shoots the Kryptonite arrow. And she catches it and breaks it. That whole fight sequence there.
I don't remember what episode that was in. And it might have been in Arrow.
I was thinking it was in Flash, but I honestly binge watched all of them, so.
Right.
Well, yeah, three of the four, so.
I did the same thing. So I watched them back to back, and I don't really remember what order they were in, but.
But, like, everybody's, like, flying around, and I'm, like, literally flying around because they got punched or whatever.
Yeah.
And Kara comes zooming in, and she has her hands.
And she's standing there with the po- Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that. I'm glad you bring that up.
And then, like, there's one Nazi running towards Sarah, I think.
Okay.
Well, okay, let's rewind. To the start of this fight scene, and all the heroes are right there, and Sarah says, oh, here they come. And then all of a sudden she does this little stupid little thing with her bow. Like it's going to help her prepare to...
Yeah, she had to make sure it was there. Like she shook it and she's like, yep, it's here.
But, okay, but if it was like the pacing of it, I guess...
Right.
Is what made it look stupid, because she did it, and then like 10 seconds later, that's when people came in, right?
Yeah.
Not like she did it, and then people came in like right away.
But the thing I didn't understand about it is when they first got in there, I think this is the one, where they first show up, and Flash just zooms around and knocks everybody down, and knocks them out. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, you couldn't have saved anyone for me, and that's when everybody else showed up? Like, why didn't the Flash just keep running around and knocking everybody out super fast?
Yeah.
I mean, I get...
Because I mean, Dawn was there, right?
Yeah. But still.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah. But the first moment that wasn't, you know, like wedding drama, that I was like, are you serious? Was when Supergirl knocked... I think it was after she knocked evil Supergirl. What do they call it? Overgirl or whatever the hell it was?
Yeah, Overgirl.
When they knocked her out. And then she stands there, posed with her hands on her hips, just mm-hmm. looking while the fight is going on around her. And I'm like, what? Why in a real fight would you seriously just stand there for 20 seconds? I've never been in a fight where I've hit a guy and then stood there with my hands on my hips.
Yeah.
I mean, all that's going to do is get me knocked out.
Yeah, I know. I mean, and again, it's the timing thing. I think they... held the pose for too long, right?
Right.
Because, I mean, we watch wrestling, so it's not like some of that stuff where, like, oh, yeah, we're going to the bar and I'm going to body slam somebody.
Wrestling is real, and this is a comic book.
Okay. But, yeah, I mean, overall, I thought it was pretty cool, like everything, but yeah. There was little nitpicky things that I had about it.
The overall
thing is Nazis versus everything that the Nazis stood for, or stood against in World War II, right?
Yeah.
Like, literally.
Pretty much.
You had, like, LGBT, you had ethnic groups, you had a Jew. Yeah. It was just, like, so on the nose... It was almost like cheesy comical type thing.
Yeah.
And you know what?
No.
I really like this snart.
You know, I really like any snart. And it sort of upsets me that he's done with the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
That I think he was there for this, and it looks like he's going to be in like the mid-season finale.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the last thing he's going to do for a while.
Right.
So, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. But, he, like, stole the show once he came in for me. Just because, like, his off one-liners and...
Well, not only that, but when he showed up, it was to save the Ray. And I thought it was pretty awesome having the Ray on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't think he's been on any of the things before, right? Like, this was the first time we've seen him on the, like, the Arrowverse?
Yeah, yeah. That is correct, I believe.
Yeah. So that was pretty nice. You know, at least they threw something else in there. The other, when we were talking about terrible fights, the other thing that I thought was kind of laughable is in the last episode... when they're gearing up for, like, the big fight at the end, and mm-hmm. all of the heroes are walking in a straight line, you know, shoulder to shoulder.
The Armageddon and, walk?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then all of the Nazi soldiers are, like, in formation, and Evil Ollie is like, kill them all, or whatever, and then they run. The heroes stand there, not doing anything. The Nazis are holding guns, and they run all the way over until they're next to them before they start even attempting to shoot. And at that point, the heroes are already beating them all up.
Well, they don't want to be like stormtroopers. They've seen Star Wars before.
But, I mean, come on.
Well, if you want to go back to that.
You have a whole army with guns. I mean, I get that they're heroes and chances are they're going to knock them out of the air anyway, the bullets. But, like, I mean, give yourself a chance.
Well, if that bothered you, how about go back to the fight scene that I was talking about, where you have Ollie running up the crates next to, and a Nazi guy's like shooting behind them.
Right.
And he basically drop kicks the guy in the chest, but the guy's like firing on Ollie the whole time.
Oh, that.
So he should be getting drilled in the abdomen, right?
That actually reminds me, in the Supergirl episode you didn't watch, the same thing happened to Sarah.
Oh.
Where the guy is shooting a gun at her as she's running towards him and like jumps and kicks him in the face.
Which one's like, Sarah?
White Canary.
Oh, yeah. I thought you meant, yeah, I know who Sarah is. I mean, come on. But when you said that, I was like, wait a minute, who's Sarah? Yeah.
But yeah, I'm like, there's no way that all of those bullets from an automatic weapon missed her as he's aiming right at her stomach.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know, maybe she's a ghost.
It's the Star Wars logic.
It's the Battlestar Galactica thing. She's not really there.
Right. Wow. Overall, did you like it?
Overall, I liked it a lot. This is the first episode of Supergirl I have watched since last year's crossover.
Sucker!
Which was the first episode of Supergirl I watched from about the eighth episode of the first season. But, yeah, this year, overall, I'm enjoying Flash, Arrow, and Legends of Tomorrow a lot more than I have even last year.
Yep.
Last year I watched all of Legends. Arrow I sort of fell off about halfway through. And Flash, I made it up to the season finale but never watched the season finale up until right before the season started. I was like, "Oh, I should probably watch that because the new season's starting now." But this year I'm enjoying the shows a lot. So the fact that they were doing a proper crossover instead of what they did last year, where it was like, oh, Flash shows up on Supergirl for 2 seconds, and then she'll show up in his episode for a couple minutes, and then in Legends of Tomorrow, like, Oliver shows up, you know, instead of not cheating, but, you know, cheating.
Right, yeah.
This was finally, like, a 3.5-hour story where, you know, where they were all there.
Yeah, right.
So.
Where you had eight plus characters all on the screen at the same time?
Yes. but again, I stand by my point. It's a TV show, and you have 4 hours of this story to tell the story, and it's not thrown into a 2-hour movie.
True. Or 3 hours if you watched it like I did.
Well, right.
Because I've only watched probably 15 to 20 minutes of Supergirl, the first episode. So. I enjoyed it a lot. And like I said, just because I didn't watch the first episode of Supergirl, I think it flowed, even though I didn't watch it. You know what I mean? Because throughout the episodes or whatever,
yeah, I mean, they
spelled it out for me.
Right.
Right, yeah.
In layman's terms. The couple main things that happened, they referenced at least a couple times. Like, Oliver asking Felicity to marry him and her saying no, just as, you know, the conversation and music all stopped, so everyone looks at them weird.
Right.
But, yeah.
And we got to see some cool characters, I thought.
Yeah,
like, together, I mean.
Right.
Not, like, intimately together, but, like, together on screen, I guess.
Yeah.
And it's always cool. It's like the Elseworlds comic books, right? Like, we get to see alternate versions of people.
Yes.
Like, I was watching the crossover, actually, with Austin. And he was like, oh, Tommy Merlin's back?
Oh, yes.
And he's gone.
That was great. I like that. That he was there. And I really liked how he was talking to Oliver. That was in the Arrow episode, right?
Yeah, yeah. Because Because I'm assuming that he had more screen time on Supergirl, but
yeah,
for us, it was only like 2 minutes.
He was in the mask on Supergirl. You didn't know who he was until Arrow,
end reveal or whatever.
I don't even think that they revealed it right at the end. I think they revealed it on Arrow, that they just kind of captured him and put him in the thing.
Okay,
but you know, like I said, I did the same as you. I watched it all back to back, so I don't remember where one ended and the other began. Yeah. But yeah, like for me, I'm a huge Elseworlds fan, so give me alternate versions of people and I'm always happy. I think having like the Overgirl and Dark Arrow, whatever they called him, was awesome. I thought the whole weird Nazi Earth thing was interesting. You know, like that kind of alternate history story is also like right in my wheelhouse.
Right.
So yeah. For me, it hit on like all cylinders, that it was a setting that I liked, you know, a story I liked. They brought in different versions of characters that I actually think I might like more than the characters on the actual shows. Like Overgirl was 1,000% cooler than Supergirl.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, they brought Tommy back, which was great for 15 minutes a show. And he suckers Oliver in. He's like, "Oh, you people are weak and losers." Like, yeah.
It also showed me, now, granted, I've seen him like in Legends and whatnot, but Commander Steel.
Okay.
I want to see more of the JSA in this universe.
Hmm. I could see that.
Just because, like, why can't we go to that Earth? Or, you know, whatever.
Right.
Because I think that'd be cool, too.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Even if they don't do it on a different Earth, they could always sort of set it in a different time.
Yeah, yeah.
On Legends of Tomorrow, and have them jump into the future, and instead of, like, a Justice League kind of thing, they could have, like, the JSA there.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, at one point, you know, Kara was like, "Oh, my cousin's gonna find you," like obviously referencing Superman. Why wouldn't Superman help out with this kind of thing? Like, he's been on Supergirl, right, at this point?
Yeah,
like, I mean, he's just too busy to help people coming to destroy the Earth to get what they want.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Or no, there's a lot of stuff. I mean, we can plot hole pick a lot of things, right?
Yeah.
But yes, I thought that was really weird. Like, and Dawn was like, "Oh yeah, I've met him, and I'm faster than him in the future."
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
And so, yeah.
But referencing Superman, I really liked when Kara was like, you know, they're like, "Oh, she's gonna blow up or go supernova," and she's like, "What do I do?" And he goes, "You gotta fly her up and away."
yeah there's a lot of good in here.
Yeah,
I think the only character that I didn't like was Black Canary Girl, or Black Widow Girl.
Okay.
You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, Supergirl's sister.
Yeah because, like,
I just forgot what her name was.
Alex,
right? Alex Danvers?
Yeah. Which, I mean, I get why she's there, right?
Right.
But she's one of those fringe characters that, like, why is she there?
Well, because she's, like, a main character on Supergirl, I think.
Well, yeah, I get that. But so, Cisco's a main character on Flash, you know what I mean? And he's got powers as to where she's just, like, a special agent.
Right, but it was her sister that was taken.
Okay. I mean, yeah, we could stretch and make it work. I'm just saying, like, her parts were, like, cringeworthy for me.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. Everything else, you know, besides the superhero landing, because I did like that part, too, like, where Flash gets there and then you wait a couple seconds, and then you have Supergirl landing, and then Ollie speeds there, probably, up, and yeah. He's like, you know, just another reminder.
Yeah.
I don't have super speed.
Right.
But, yeah, there's lots of good stuff. Like, I thought the Atom was cool. I really liked the Ray. I even liked Heatwave in this and, like, his one-off banner type stuff.
Right. The one character, I'm curious to see how they're going to go with it forward since half of him died. Like with Firestorm.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I missed something because I zoned out for a minute, but like towards the end, after Martin dies,
yeah.
How was he still Firestorm in the last fight? Did they explain that? Did I miss something? I'm sure
they explained that. Gideon was able to make it so Jefferson was Firestorm again without bonding.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Was that like a one-off, or that's how they're going to do it for the whole rest of the show now?
I'm assuming that's how they're going to do it for the rest of the show, I would assume.
Interesting. All right. Yeah, I completely missed that in the show. That was probably one of my yawn moments. Where I was like, what is going on here? I'm just going to zone out, and it'll just kind of just watch a bunch of superheroes beat each other up.
Well, I mean, yeah, that happened too, but...
Yeah. I'm trying to think if there was any other... Yeah,
If there was Easter eggs to other things, I didn't really get it.
There were lots of... I can't think of them off the top of my head. There were a lot of references to stuff. Like the up, up, and away thing. And
well, yeah, you know, like, I just meant like other characters. You know what I mean?
Supposedly, I saw somewhere someone said Red Tornado was in this.
Yeah, Red Tornado was in this.
Did I miss that too?
How? Yes.
Jesus Christ, I got to go back and watch this.
Okay, you know, like when
right?
Yes, he was the missile that was being shot at the thing.
Is that seriously? I completely.
Because that's what Ray and the Flash were trying to stop, was Red Tornado.
You know what? I'm going to be honest with you here.
Uh-huh.
I must have blinked asleep at one point. I totally missed that entire thing.
Wow.
Yeah. And like afterwards, I was on like Facebook, and someone's like, man, Red Tornado was kind of cool in this. And I was like, shit, I don't remember seeing Red Tornado.
Yeah, Red Tornado looked extremely cool in this compared to how he did in the Supergirl episode screenshots that I saw.
Oh, I don't know if he ever showed up. I never saw it. Okay, no, so he was...
I know he did in Supergirl, but, like, from, like, you know, websites or whatever.
Right.
But in this, he looked, like, really cool. Of course, I think he was all CGI also, but...
Oh, I'm sure it was. So it was when they were on Earth-X at the prison place?
No, it was when Ollie was being doppelganger, Ollie.
Oh, okay.
And they were trying to get to the port to go back home.
Okay, so it was at the end of the third episode. I'll have to watch that.
Yeah, and the Rebels, I guess we'll call them, Wynn or whatever his name was, right. That was the missile that he was shooting to blow up that base. It wasn't a missile per se, it was Red Tornado.
I 100% did not see any of that.
Dude, that was like the last 15 minutes of that episode.
I'm telling you, I must have been doing one of those things where you're sitting there and you blink and like 15 minutes pass. because I didn't see that.
Huh. Yeah.
All right, well, I still have it on my TiVo, so I'll queue that up after this so I can watch Red Tornado. Damn.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I can't believe that you missed that.
Yeah, it's pretty, I'm pretty awesome. I will say, I liked Paul Blackthorne. I just forgot his name on the show. Detective Lance.
Yeah.
I liked that he got to use his actual accent on Earth-X. When he was like the evil British guy. Fully appreciated that bit.
I liked it as well. I thought it was cool. I thought like everything was cool, like where he'd go up and instead of being shocked at seeing Earth One Sarah, you know, he totally demoralizes her just like he did with Earth X Sarah, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah, because she had leanings or whatever he said.
That's right. That's right. And he washed them out.
Yeah. Yeah, I think if in the future this is how they do crossovers, I'm like, I don't mind watching an episode of Supergirl here or there.
Yep, I'll keep watching it like this.
See, I'm curious. I mean, I'm not going to watch it. I'll let other people who do watch it let me know. But I wonder if there's going to be any follow-up to this on the Supergirl story. Since, you know, she was Red Sun and whatever. Like, if there's going to be any after effect of that. Or if it's just going to be like, oh yeah, no, it's just a one-off and now everything's perfectly fine.
Well, see, and that's what I think's cool about all the crossovers that they've done. Like, it's always had wrinkles of after effects. Right. So yeah, I think, I don't know if it'll be like part of the main thing or not, but I know that'll be part of her story or whatever, you know, like that she knows about it.
Right.
I don't know. Like I said, I'll let people tell me.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm sure that Legends and Arrow and Flash will have ramifications from this.
Legends definitely will, since one of the cast members is dead.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I couldn't tell. I think they showed some of the clips of the finales. I couldn't tell if Captain Cold was on Flash or if he was on Legends. It seemed like he's going to be on Legends again, just because of him and Heatwave.
Heatwave, yeah. Yeah, I'm not. I would assume so too, but I think from what I read was this crossover is the last time that he's on Flash.
No, it's the last time he's going to be Captain Cold.
Well, yeah, because he wasn't Captain Cold. He was Citizen Cold.
Well, right. But you know what I mean.
No, I know. But, I mean, I think the after effect, I think you're right. I think it'll be on Legends and not Flash, though.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. So, 1 to 5, you would give this Supergirl a 0 and the rest like a 4 out of 5?
Yeah, I would say 3.5 to 4 overall, I would say.
Yeah, it's
because there's a lot of cool stuff. I mean, and even like the CGI stuff was better than I expected for a TV, right? So I would say 3.5 to 4.
There were a couple moments of like cheesiness with the CGI, but overall, I agree. I think it was. Considering it's a TV show, and it's a TV show on the CW, you know?
Right, yeah.
That I think they look pretty good. You know, I'm not expecting... What channel's The Gifted on? Is that on Fox?
Yeah, that's on FX.
Okay, yeah. But, like, the effects in that are fantastic. And I don't really think that, you know, the CW is going to spend as much money as, I guess, Warner Brothers or whoever.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, I think overall it was pretty good and pretty solid, except for, like I said, like a couple of cheesy things that we went over, but, I mean, it's the CW, so it's going to have some cheesy stuff.
Right. Especially how it ends with a double wedding, which was bizarre.
Yeah.
Where's their marriage license, man? Felicity and Oliver do not have a marriage license.
Right.
So that's not
binding. But he is the mayor, so he can do whatever he wants.
I guess. That's going to be the next episode. The next episode of Arrow, the winter finale, is going to be them sitting at the county clerk's office trying to get a marriage license. And because it's the holiday time, it's going to be super busy, and shenanigans will ensue.
That's right. And they can't. And then the ending scene was them all around the Christmas tree having hot cocoa.
Yeah. Or eggnog.
Or eggnog, yes.
And somehow Schroeder will be there from Peanuts playing the piano in the background.
That's right.
Yeah, overall, I think I agree. I'd probably give it somewhere between 3.5 and 4. So I guess I'll call it a 3.75.
But I did like this crossover better than last year's crossover.
Yeah, I mean, even going back to, I guess, the first year with the Flash and Arrow, when they started.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, I mean, each year there's always like one episode where they'll show up.
Right.
I think this one, the first one, I think I liked the most just because it was the first time.
Yeah, yeah.
That you're like, oh man, I can't believe, you know, Arrow's been on, I guess at that point, 2 years.
Right.
And then Flash came on. You're like, oh man, this is so awesome that they're there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like the Legends showed up on Arrow, which is kind of how they started.
Right.
I guess. That was kind of cool. But I think this one overall, the way it got everybody together to have the crossover felt like way better than last year.
Right.
Even though I'm still not sure how the mail with wedding invitations travels from Earth 1 to whichever Earth Supergirl is on.
Well, it doesn't have to be. It could have been an email.
But how are you sending it? No, but she checked off a box on the thing saying she was going to be there on the RSVP card. You missed that.
Yeah. Oh, did I?
Yeah.
Was that in the Supergirl?
They were all checking off their replies that they were going to be at the wedding.
Yeah, well, if Felicity can send out a code message for the Legend people to get there.
Yeah, by hitting a bunch of things that did not look at all like buttons that she should be hitting to send messages.
Yeah. I mean, if she can do that, I mean, come on. Maybe Stan Lee delivered the email. You never know.
Could be. It was Earth X.
That's right. And he was a mailman before. So.
Huh. Yeah, I really think Earth X was like a weird Alex Ross thing that he did for Marvel.
You're probably right.
I mean, I never read it, but I seem to remember it happening.
Yeah, you're probably right. It was probably an X-Men event called Earth X.
No, I don't remember. I thought it was like Fantastic Four or something. It could have been everybody. What? Maybe the event. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. I'll have to look it up later. I'm just too lazy to do it now.
Well, that's fine.
I also don't care that much. Maybe you could talk about the Ultimate Marvel podcast and get all your German bots to download it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's just smart. Maybe we'll get German bots for this one since it's the crossover.
Yeah.
It's Crisis on Earth X.
Yeah.
So maybe German bots will download this one too.
Could be. I mean, that'll be exciting, even though I think that they were hoping for a different outcome.
Yeah, well.
So, you got anything else about Crisis?
I don't really have anything about Crisis, really. Nope.
You read any good books this week?
I read some books this week, yeah. I'm actually debating whether I'm going to reread 52 or not, thanks to Nick.
Oh, you know what? I saw him tweet that he was starting it, and I thought the same thing. I was like, I should really reread 52.
Yeah, and ironically, like, I have it all on Comixology, but only for whatever reason, issue 1 was downloaded on my phone.
Okay.
But not the other 51 issues. Right. Which is weird, because I thought I bought them in volumes, but apparently I bought them in singles again, because I have the whole single floppies of them, like when they came out.
Right.
So then I read issue 1, and I was like, I got a couple other things that I need to finish and read before I start on something else.
Yeah, I'm so far behind on current books.
Yeah, and then he kept tweeting out, like, panel shots and stuff. I'm like, damn you, Nick Wetmore.
Yeah.
because 52 is like one of my favorite events. Or would you call it an event?
Because
it was a weekly thing. It was the first weekly thing. So
yeah, because it was the year without Superman. So I'd say that was probably an event.
Yeah, well, it was a year without Batman, the Trinity. Yeah.
Yeah, I have them. I want to say there was like a sale on the omnibus or the two volumes, because that's how I have it. That it was volume 1 and 2, which is like 25 issues each, or 26, right. I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I should. That's one I want to go back to.
Yeah,
maybe
I might not do it. I might not be able to get to it this week, but it might be over the holiday week.
Yeah, I think that's my goal, is to try and catch up on stuff before that week,
mm-hmm.
when I'm on vacation. Maybe I can sit and, instead of just playing video games with my kids all week, I can read 52.
Yeah.
So, so what non-good books did you read this week?
I don't know if they're non-good books.
Okay. Well, I asked if you read any good books, and you said you read books.
Well, I mean, I don't know if there's any like DC ones that like stood out for me.
Oh,
really? Like, see, I did read.
I knew it. I knew you would turn on Batman.
Well, okay. Well, obviously, you have a different opinion of Batman than I do. So. I was just going to avoid that one altogether. But I love Super Sons Annual, though, because as Mike pointed out to me on Twitter, it had Detective Chimp in it. So,
oh, shoot. I didn't read that yet.
Yeah.
I knew there was one I forgot.
It's a fun, like, book because Detective Chimp's in it. And Crypto and Ace are more... center focus of it, then. So,
cool.
The Green Arrow one, I didn't really enjoy at all.
I didn't even get it. I was hoping you would read it and tell me it was good, because yeah, I figured I would read the annual, but I'm all right not knowing.
Yeah. The Batman annual, I really enjoyed, but
really, really, really enjoyed the art in the Batman annual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the art was great, too.
That's it.
No. I know.
It was the guy that drew the Batman Elmer Fudd, right?
Yeah.
I think? Yeah.
Lee Weeks.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, the art was fantastic. And one thing I will say about Batman, even though I have not been enjoying the story, with the exception of, I guess, the last arc, I forget who was on it, I thought the art was like a little less than, but for the most part, I mean, the people that they've had drawing Batman have been top notch, you know? I mean,
right.
I forget who started. Was it Finch was the first one?
I believe so. Yeah.
Great. And then I guess Clayman did some, I think.
Yep, the man, Clay Mann.
And then
Mitch did a couple.
Yeah, he did a couple issues.
And then Miguel Janin?
He was, I think he was the second one on the book.
Yeah.
Because he did that like amazing spread of Arkham.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, that art, I would say, is probably... one of the best ones. Besides, I really liked. I like Mitch's style.
Yeah.
So, and if you go listen to Gotham by Geeks, the interview with Tom.
Okay.
Tom knows where he's like where he wants to go with the story.
Okay.
And he knows that like the artist wise that he's gonna have for that arc. Or if he's not going to have an arc, like he wants the story to fit the artist.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And so he's planned it out like that.
You can see it's definitely working.
Right.
That I think whoever's been on it It's really, the art has been to their strength.
Yes, yes. And then, like, there's a couple of gaps coming up, I think, where the artists, like, say, Clayman, say, will take a while to do four issues or whatever. Not that he does. I'm just using him for an example.
Right.
Say, but like,
Jim Lee.
Yeah.
Takes 2.5 years to do four issues.
So an arc coming up is Super Friends arc.
Okay.
Where it's him and Clark. And so that 2-issue series or 3-issue series is by another artist, and then you have you'll have Clayman or whoever come back for 4 or 5 more issues or whatever.
Cool.
Instead of doing the thing that you hate where, you know, it's half an issue and then it breaks up into
the worst.
Or half an arc and then it breaks up into another, you know,
half or whatever. Especially on a book like this.
Mm-hmm.
Where the art is so stylized.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, could you imagine if you're reading Red Hood and the Outlaws and you've got, you know, Dexter Soy, whose art is, I mean, it's so distinctively him.
Right.
And it's so good, but he fell behind. So pages, you know, 16 to 20 are drawn by somebody else. And you're just like, what the hell just happened on these pages?
Right.
You know, that kills me. I mean, I get why they have to do it sometimes to make sure that they get the stuff out.
Right.
But
Like in this annual, Lee Weeks only does up until like the futuristic part. And then
the last couple pages are somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody else. But that's because of that, because the story changes.
Right. Yeah. In a situation like that, I don't mind something like that where you could have a different location. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, say, just as an example for what you were saying, there's going to be a Bruce and Clark story.
Right, right.
If you have a different artist doing the Gotham setting and a different artist doing the Metropolis setting,
yeah,
I could see that sort of thing working in a way, because they're two very different looking places.
Right. And I think that's why I like Mitch's art on certain things, like the Gotham crime noir type stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like, I love his art in Sheriff of Babylon, obviously. Yeah,
he has a very realistic style.
Yeah. And then his art on Miracle Man.
Yeah.
But, like, the arcs that he's done with Tom throughout Batman, I'm like, I know you and a handful of others aren't really appreciating what he's doing, but I like that he's aware of the artist and their style and if it'll fit that story or not.
Yeah, and it's also a good thing that DC is letting him do that.
Yeah, right.
You know, I mean, I don't know how it works, but sometimes it seems like they'll just throw random artists on a book.
Right. Right, right.
And, you know, when something like that happens, they might not necessarily have the right chemistry between the artist and writer. And you can tell that it's sort of disjointed. So it's very nice that they're like, I mean, obviously it's Batman, so that's the big book that they want the best of the best on.
Right.
But still, it's good that they're giving, you know, Tom a heads up, you know, maybe even in selecting the artists that he works with and everything else, just like.
Well, I would say that, because him and Mitch have a past together, you know what I'm saying? I'm sure that he was like, hey, if there's any possible way, can we get Mitch to do this story arc with me?
Yeah, he did. You know? Which one was it? The two. He did those 2 issues with. I don't even remember now. He did the engagement one, right?
Yeah,
I
believe
so. On the rooftops.
Okay. Yeah, I believe so. No, don't quote me on that.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly what it was. I think he only did 2 issues.
Yeah, before.
Yeah.
But he's doing...
an upcoming?
Miracle Man.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right.
And then I'm sure that he'll be doing upcoming stuff, too.
Yeah.
And I know that there's a Batman story. No, Tom's writing the Superman story for like the DC holiday special.
Oh, great.
And I don't know who the artist is for that.
Hopefully it'll be JRJR, so it's just super good.
Well, and also we learned in that Gotham by Geeks episode that, which I thought was brilliant. Other people might not like it, but Tom also lies to the solicits. So that way that's the really cool stuff doesn't get spoiled, like, you know, 4 months in advance.
Right.
Because I think there was like the one where it showed, like, I don't know, like Daryl or Chris will know, you know, or Tom himself, obviously. But like, there's the one where Talia and Selina were sword fighting.
Right.
In the solicits, it was actually like Bruce and somebody having a sword fight.
Oh. Huh.
You know, so that way it didn't get spoiled of, did she say yes? Did she say no? Right. You know, that type of thing. So.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Did you read the Aquaman annual?
I did.
Now, two things about this book. One, the art was terrible.
Yeah.
And two, the story was so good.
Yes. You know, the story was fantastic, but you know what kept taking me out? Was the art, and it was the people's noses.
Yeah.
They looked like, what's the dude's name? Dang it. Qbert?
Okay.
Or the monster chick from Beetlejuice, like with the long nose.
Oh, okay.
Like the whole time, like I was like, dang it, come on. And then like it'd show a overhead view of like Mira and Arthur swimming. And then like he'd have like this beak. And I was like, what the hell?
Huh. Yeah, the thing that messed me up was like the shapes of people's heads. Where everyone sort of mm-hmm. looked like Sloth from Goonies.
Okay, yeah, yeah, I can see that too.
But, yeah, I think one of the jarring things was because the art on Aquaman has been so good lately.
Lately, but that's been, like, the mainstay for Aquaman, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's been the MO since Rebirth, is, like, the story's been so good, but the art's been shaky.
Right. Who's on the art? Sedgwick, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's like freaking paintings in every page. You know, each panel is like amazing. But then you get to this and you're just like, oof. That's right. a step in the wrong direction. Yeah. But like you said, story, oh man. Like, I was totally into this. And I mean, the twist, I guess. I mean, I guess mm-hmm. we'll spoil it. Where... you know, they were actually, you know, I guess captured by whatever that thing was that was feeding off their life force and, you know, causing them to dream their whole life.
Yeah.
Was, man, that was awesome.
Yeah, I was trying to, and you knew something was up, right?
Yeah, but I really wanted to see what happened to Hal Jordan that made him lose his arm. And how he's able to keep a construct of an arm while he's doing everything else. Which is, I mean, why Hal Jordan's awesome. Right?
Yeah, true. I was trying to look at... it's like... Fumara? That's the artist of this annual.
Okay, yeah.
I was trying to look at and see... but DC doesn't do good splash pages with this.
They do, but sometimes it's like the end of the book.
Yeah, that's what I'm scrolling down here. But also, yeah, like, so, like, Arthur's son, when he's talking to him later.
Yeah.
His head looks like, he looks like an alien from Area 51. Like, the stereotypical gray alien.
Yeah.
And it's just like, yeah, someone okay.
caved in the side of his head with a bat.
Yeah. Yeah. Or smooshed it together, you know?
Or something, yeah. The way the book ended, at first I started thinking about it, where how Aquaman and Mira are, like, sitting on the shore, basically all depressed that their son is gone.
Right.
At first I was like, but it wasn't their son, it was a dream. But then you realize, like, they literally lived...
Yeah. Their,
like, the entire... I'm assuming from when they got captured by that thing and, like, imprisoned there, that everything with Crown Spire, and their son, and, you know, like, everything went on. And it was, like, I mean, they lived every day of that dream.
Like it was real.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's got to mess you up.
Oh, yeah. At least, you know, temporarily, anyways.
Yeah.
Like, right after effects, right? Now, like, if it was, like, 5 years later and they were still messed up from it, then I think it'd be off. But, you know, immediately after,
yeah,
it'd be emotionally draining for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I think, geez, I just forgot who's writing that. It's Dan Abnett, right? I think.
Usually, but I don't know if he did this one or not.
I want to say he did. It seemed like him. But, I mean, the writing in Aquaman's been spectacular of late.
No, it's Johnson.
Who?
It says Johnson. But I can't see the... Oh, there it is. It is Philip Kennedy Johnson is the writer.
Huh.
And Max Fiumara is the artist, and Dave Stewart is the colorist.
Interesting. Okay, so it's a different writer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the writing of the story was terrific.
Right.
You know, I'm definitely going to have to look and see what else that guy's done.
Yeah.
Speaking of good art, though,
back to that,
I forget who the artist was. It might have been Mike Norton that drew Mystic U.
Yes.
That book looked pretty good.
That book was good.
Yeah.
I liked... to me... I don't know how to describe it. It's like... It's like Valiant High meets Harry Potter style stuff meets the Mystic world.
No. For me. It's like Deadly Class with magic.
Okay, or Deadly Class, yeah.
Because I think it was
come
more,
on.
It wasn't as childish as, like, Valiant High or... Or
it wasn't.
Harry Potter. I didn't think so. I thought it was.
I mean,
it was darker for sure.
Well, it was darker, yeah, but it was still like tweeny drama ish. I'm not saying that as a bad thing,
right?
I'm just saying like that's, and I love Valiant High for you know what it is and what it set out to do,
right?
And like with this stuff, yeah, I enjoyed this book too.
Now. Quick question for you before we get
quick into the answer book. For you
when Zatanna is doing her magic do you read it as it's written or do you read it backwards?
I read it backwards so I understand it.
Yeah, that's I do the same. I was just curious.
Yeah, I because like I think I try to read it forward like it's supposed to be like she's saying it but then I'm like I don't know what the hell she just said.
Yeah, when I was younger, I remember the first time I saw her in a comic, I was reading it, and I'm like, man, this is like gibberish. Like, I get she's doing magic, but, you know, that's just crazy. And then finally it dawned on me. I was like, oh, she does backwards magic. And then I look, and I'm like, oh, this is all literally just everything written backwards. And from that point on, I just read everything.
What I think's kind of funny, and it might be because, you know, I read a lot of books.
Yeah.
Doesn't Faust look like Ninjak? From Valiant High, kinda?
From Valiant High?
Well, maybe not from Valiant High, but like that's what gave me the Valiant High type thing. You know, he's purple, he's got purple glasses, he's got like the leather jacket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that a little. But yeah, I don't know why you thought I would hate this book so much. I enjoyed it a lot.
Because you don't like magic books?
That's not true. I don't like most magic books.
Okay. But the writer is... Quitney?
Yeah.
Alice Quitney?
Yeah, Alice Quitney.
Uh-huh. And then Mike Norton does the art on it.
Right. I think...
Yeah. And I'm a huge Mike Norton fan.
Yeah, I want to say, I think Jordy Belair does the coloring on this.
Yes, you are correct.
Because it was a name that I was familiar with that had stuck in my head. But
the Fresh Prince of Jordy Belair.
Correct. I think, this one, everything about the book, I thought the writing was done really well.
Mm-hmm.
The story was good. I like the way it was set up, kind of like in chapters.
Yeah.
I liked the art. I thought looked great. I thought the color style of the book fit everything really well.
Yes.
You know, that it's not... You know, I mean, there were bleak pages. There were, you know, more... Like, once she got to the school, the colors started to pop more.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep.
But, yeah, I really dig this, and I'm curious to see where it's going to go.
See, and for me, the only two characters that I know
okay,
are Zatanna and June Moon.
Yeah.
So, for me, it's a whole new world.
Right.
Kind of thing, and I love that. I love, where you have a sprinkle of characters that you know... And then some that I know, I've heard of, but I haven't read much of, right?
Yeah.
And, if this is retconning anybody, then okay. It's fine for me because I don't have an emotional connect to that character.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool, but it's also... we know that one of the new students is the one that undoes the school, right?
Yeah.
Or whatever. So that's kind of obvious choice is Enchantress, right?
I mean, you'd think, but I think
I know. That's what too I'm saying. Obvious. That's the obvious choice. Right, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I love that the hipster got scared and went home.
Yep. Yeah, I think it's going to be the I just forgot his name.
Sarg?
Kid Sargo? With with the jewel.
With the ruby?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my guess.
Sarg? Is that Sarg? Sargon?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I have his name here. I just don't know how it's actually pronounced. So, is that who you think it is? Well, that's the less obvious one, right?
But I think, at the same time, that makes it too obvious. So it'll probably end up being the other girl, Pia.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think it's going to be Faust's kid. It's not going to be Zatanna, because
she's
going
to be... Well, you can't say that. Wouldn't that be the biggest twist of them all?
I mean, I guess, but I think she's going to be the one that saves everything.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying, they're leading it up to, it's the big bad evil type thing, as to where the swerve could be, she destroys the school and she doesn't even mean to.
Oh, yeah, that could be it.
Right.
Now, have they announced, is this an ongoing, or is this, a contained thing?
I don't think they, on the cover, it doesn't say, one of six or one of eight or anything, so...
Right.
I'm assuming that they're planning it to be an ongoing, but it's how sales go with it, I'm assuming.
Yeah. I just think it's funny that there's in one of the DC groups I'm in on Facebook, this one guy literally for years, he's been what does everyone hope for in solicits? I hope that they announce, a Zatanna book, and for years. And a while ago, they announced that there was going to be, this Mystic U thing. mm-hmm. and then it just disappeared. There was no cancellation, no anything, no updates. And he's like, oh, come on, I need... And finally, when this came out, I was like, hey, did you read it? And he's like, oh my God, this is so good. So it's just funny that, you know, the characters that people wait for,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, finally they come out. And at least, I mean, this was done well, so I'm very happy. It's not like, you know, you're going to get some Booster Gold story where instead of Booster Gold being Booster Gold, he's like a private investigator, you know, investigating infidelities. You're just like, why am I even reading this?
Which we are getting a Booster Gold book.
Is it a Booster Gold book, or is it just a Booster Gold arc in Action Comics?
I thought it was an actual book.
I thought it was just an arc. But okay. I would be very happy with a book. I mean, because he showed up at the end of Action, the last issue.
Right. So I guess I was under the impression that him showing up and then whatever arc that he's going to have in Action is kind of like reintroducing him to this universe.
Spin him off? Ooh.
Yeah.
I would be all for that.
Of course, I could be wrong, but...
Yeah, I mean, even if they give me like a Booster miniseries, just something.
Just something to wet your whistle?
Yeah, just something. You know, like, I mean, what kind of like what they did with Midnighter.
Yeah.
That, not the Midnighter and Apollo, but there was like the Midnighter series right before that.
Right, during New 52, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he was in a bunch of Grayson.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, he got his own story, and it's just like, you know what, just give me like a little bit of these characters, and I'm good. I'm good with that to hold me over until something else comes.
Yep.
But man, now I really want a Booster Gold book. I'm gonna have to look and see if see what that was. Oof. You got anything else?
I do. I want to talk about one book, and I want to get your impression on it before we wrap up.
Okay.
Batman Creature of the Night. Have you read that yet?
No, I did not.
Okay. Because, like, I love the art in it, and I love the story, but I'm not sure about, like... And it's good.
Okay.
I'm just not... I'm not sure it's the best Bat book out, if that makes sense.
Okay. That's the one that Martin was talking
Kurt
about.
Kurt Busiek.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, Kurt Busiek is, and then John Paul
does the art.
Yeah.
The from what I saw, it looked like the art was like a very old style. Like old style comic book kind of. Or am I thinking of a different
thing? No, you're right, but like I don't know how to say it without you spoiling it so you read it. But like he reads Batman comics, and so when he's reading the comic, it's like the Golden Age Batman art. But the rest of the art is like crime noir type art.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I mean I have it, I just haven't gotten to it yet. But I will bump that to the top of my to read list. So we can talk about it next time.
Yeah, because I was kind of curious on, like, what you thought of it.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I have heard is that it's the greatest Batman thing of all time. And that's it.
So. Yeah, see, I don't know if I'd go that far, but, I mean, I'm really enjoying it.
Right.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's only one issue, so...
Now, I'm assuming that one is, like, a contained mini.
Yeah.
Just like the, whatever it is, White Knight.
Yeah, the White Knight. And,
I believe issue 3 of that comes out this week.
Right.
So I might... I still haven't started it. I can't decide if I'm going to wait for it to all be out. I might wait until issue 4 comes out and read the first half.
Mm-hmm.
And then wait for the rest to finish it. But...
Yeah, I can see that.
You know, kind of, I guess, read it as like a trade. But yeah, there's too many books. there's entirely too many things I want to read. And now yeah. you're going to make me read 52 again.
I'm not making you. I'm just tempting you because I got tempted, you know, so.
Yeah.
It's well. All Nick's fault. It's all Nick's. It's all Nick's fault for wanting us to reread stuff that's great.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. Well, we'll add that to the list of stuff.
It's like, oh yeah, ho hum. I guess I'll just add it to the list.
Yeah, I did a big culling of books recently,
mm-hmm.
where. It's like, I mean, a bunch of new Image series and stuff that are, it, a lot of its creators I like.
Right.
And I picked up first issues,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't get a chance to read it. And then a second issue came out, and I'm like, oh, yeah. And then I got a second issue, and some of them I even picked up a third. And I'm like, okay, I got to stop. So I started looking through, and I'm like, this one I know I'm not going to get to anytime soon, so I can drop it for now. This right. one I'm going to drop. So I've cut down on some stuff. Other things I still have to catch up on. I think I'm down to, like, I don't know. I think I'm under 100 books on my tablet to read.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Not as as the week I was off in September for like around Labor Day when I was down to 2 comics. And then I forget, someone told me to read something. I forget what it was, and I ended up grabbing like a whole bunch of something.
Hmm.
I don't remember what it was now.
Now, did you read the Injustice Annual?
Oh, yes. Did I?
I don't know. I know I did, but I don't know if you did or not.
I think I did. Injustice, I usually read. I let it build a little bit, but I want to say...
It's the Wonder Woman story with the Harley Quinn story in the back.
No, I did not read it yet.
Okay.
I have that and issue 34 to read.
Okay. But I think this issue happens before 34.
It came out before 34.
It tells you like in the thing like this issue happened before 30 or whatever, you know.
Oh, in the annual?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like both stories happen like not in numerical order basically.
Right. Okay, I can see that.
But I mean, I love that series.
Oh yeah, it's funny,
and it falls on that Elseworlds type story. Like, I don't like the game. Like the kids like the game, because I don't really like. I'm not into the Mortal Kombat style. I mean, I love Mortal Kombat when we were growing up. Don't get me wrong,
right.
But I always sucked at it, so I never like gravitated towards them.
I can see that.
So, like, I don't even know what's part of the game and what's not part of the game, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, okay. When the game first came out, I remember a friend of mine sent me a link to, like, a movie of all the cutscenes.
Yeah, Austin told me I needed to do that, too, but I haven't done that. Yeah,
it's like, I want to say it's somewhere between, like, 90 minutes... and like 2 hours, and it's good.
Yeah.
But I'm like, oh, I don't really want to sit and watch this
mm-hmm.
if I'm going to play the game at some point. Or, but I mean, I still ended up watching the whole thing. But right. since the start, when the book first came out, I was like, eh, I'm not going to read a weekly digital comic
mm-hmm.
on top of everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it was towards the end of the first year of it, I don't remember who it was. It might have been my buddy. I think it might have been my friend Jeff that was like, oh, this is pretty good. You should check it out. And I just like completely devoured the first year. And since then, I was like, yeah, I'm all in.
And yeah, see, I started late also. I was like, I think it was like halfway through the second year before.
Okay.
Because I just thought it was like, you know, like Marvel has like the prelude to
right.
Captain America First Avenger or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So I just thought it was something like that. I didn't know it was going to be like all crazy about it.
Yeah. And I mean, since I've started reading it, I'm going to have to say it's been consistently one of my favorite books. And I guess last week I wasn't even thinking when we were talking about top DC comics that are ongoings, and I didn't even think of Injustice because I definitely would have put that up on my list.
Yeah, I agree. Because it's been great since then.
Yeah, the only one I didn't really enjoy so much was... I forget what it was called. The one that was, like, Harley Quinn-centric.
Yeah, that was the last one.
Yeah, between Injustice Year 5 and Injustice 2 Year 1.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
You know, it started off interesting enough, but it got to the point where I'm like, I just can't read Harley for too long.
Yeah.
So... Yep. But I love the different settings that, you know, there was the one year was with the Green Lanterns. The one year was with all like the magic people. The one, you know, now this one is like with Themyscira.
Right.
That it's really does a lot of cool things.
Well, it scratches that itch for Elseworld stories, right?
Yep.
So that's what's cool.
Yeah. Speaking of Elseworld stories, I got a reminder when I was ordering stuff as Christmas gifts that my Green Lantern Earth 1 Volume 1 will be shipping to me on March 20th.
Nice.
Yeah. I don't know. Have you read the Earth 1 books?
No, I have not.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, wait. I read Earth 1 Teen Titans.
Okay, the two Lemire volumes?
Yes, yes.
Okay. The Wonder Woman was very good. It's probably my favorite thing that I've read from Grant Morrison in a long time. But the Superman, the three of them, it's J. Michael Straczynski writing.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that guy, he can write. He's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And, the two Batmans, it's, Jeff Johns doing Batman. And it's really good. And I honestly, I forget who is even writing or doing the art on the Green Lantern. But, I mean, it's... There were rumors the Green Lantern, and there was an Aquaman, and there was a Flash that was supposed to happen. But it all got delayed, I mean, years. So, I mean, it's nice that the Green Lantern one's finally coming out. And
yeah, agreed.
The art that I saw, like at least the cover art on it, looks amazing. So,
I'll have to look for that.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know me, I read pretty much everything digital.
Right.
But these books, I get the hardcovers. I pre-order that, and the day of release, they'll be at my house, so I can sit and read.
Yeah, see, I haven't really gotten into hardcovers until here recently. And I can't remember what we were talking about. And then I read it, and I was like, God damn it, I just went and bought the hardcover.
Yeah.
But I don't remember what it was, so.
Was it the Jeff Lemire Green Arrow?
No.
Because I don't have a lot of the DC hardcovers, but that's one that I have, because I really enjoyed that story.
I don't remember off the top of my head now.
Yeah, I just need my kids to grow up and move out so I can get myself an office again in my house.
Yeah.
So that I can have a nice bookshelf to display all my books.
Yeah.
That'll have to be reinforced for the weight, I guess, because they're all big hardcover editions.
Yeah. Oh, man, I'm trying to think still, because that's crazy. And I know it's DC. And we were talking about it, and I was like, man, I'm just going to get it.
DC that we were talking about.
I don't know.
Watchmen hardcover.
Well, yeah, I did get those too.
Okay.
But that's not what I was thinking of. Yeah.
Flashpoint? Identity Crisis? Justice? Kingdom Come?
No, maybe.
I don't remember what we were talking about now.
Yeah, I don't remember either, but... It's no big deal.
It is a big deal. Now I gotta know.
Yeah. Well, maybe I'll go back and look through our chat, but
or you can look at your bookshelf.
Well, it hasn't came yet, It was recent. But, like...
So go look at your recent orders. I'm guessing you got it on InStockTrades.com?
Yeah, I did. Because I got something else there, too.
What DC stuff did we talk about? I don't know.
I don't know. I got the Volume 4 of the old Golden Age Batman stuff.
Oh, cool.
So that was kind of cool, but, you know.
Well,
you got anything else?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think I'm good. You're good?
I'm good.
Cool. Well, thank you all for listening to the latest episode of the Absolute DC Podcast. If you would like to tweet me, you can get me directly at Aaron S. Bell.
You can get me at Rombar316.
And you can tweet the show directly at DC_Absolute. And thank you for listening. DC Absolute.
Hell yeah.
Now that wasn't terrible.
That was pathetic. Boom.
Nerdy Legion.
NerdyLegion.com.